Welcome to Double Impact, the podcast that takes you into the world of impact innovation and investments in Israel. I am Alina Shkolnikov-Schwarzman, and I head Impact Entrepreneurship for the Edmund Rothschild Foundation in Israel. On the podcast, I set out to interview top professionals in the field, entrepreneurs, investors, and field builders, and together we take a deep dive into our local ecosystem. Today, we're happy to have with us Nikki Newfield, founder of Arc Impact, and Sa'ar Safra, CEO of BeWise. Nikki, we're going to start with you. What is Arc Impact?
Hi. So At Arc Impact, we have three pillars. We have an investment arm that is finance first, and we have very proudly 14, closing on 15 investments over the last 2 years. And we have an impact first bucket starting soon. And we do a lot of field building and a philanthropic bucket where we allocate funding to build the impact economy in Israel. And we're very proud of the work we do in that field as well.
Wonderful. So we're going to take one example from the work that you do in finance first, and that's Sal. Sal, what do you guys do at BeWise?
Hi, thank you for having me. We build robotic beehives. And the reason somebody would wake up in the morning and decide to build a robotic beehive is 75% of all the food you consume, fruit, vegetables, seeds, and nuts, are pollinated by bees. 75% globally for 8 billion people. So bees are important. They're important for our global food supply and for pollination purposes, for all the colorful flowers we have around us, actually. There's no colorful flowers without bees, but they're experiencing what is called colony collapse. And we're losing about 35 to 40% of the bees every single year globally. It doesn't matter where you are, if it's bees in your backyard or in a rooftop, or if you're a commercial beekeeper, you will lose about 40% of your bees every single year. And we set out to change that. We built a device that can actually tend to the bees in real time in the field. It's like your own personal medic in the field, or it's actually as if every bee had her own beekeeper in the field 24/7, and that's what our device does.
The challenge is a health challenge? The colonies are collapsing and the bees are dying? Or when you say every bee has a medic, what is the cause of the collapse?
So unfortunately, if it was one cause, it would be easier to fix, right? Because you can focus, like the corona, there's a virus, you have a fix. For bees, it's a variety of issues that they're experiencing. It's a variety of stressors like climate change and pesticides and disease and pests they didn't used to have. And so it's a much harder problem to solve. So you can't really focus on one thing. You actually have to give bees a toolbox, right? A new home that they can cope with these stressors. It's like the perfect storm for bees today. All these things are happening at the same time, at scale. And this is why we had to build this this device that has a lot of artificial intelligence, a lot of precision robotics. It's not an easy problem to solve. And so we had to really kind of go all out and rebuild the hive in that manner to really accommodate the bees.
And you came to this because one day you woke up, saw a little bee in the window and said to yourself, today I will save the bees.
You know, it's actually funny. Every beekeeper you ask, why are they into beekeeping? They'll tell you the same answer. We didn't choose beekeeping. The bees chose us. In my specific case, I'm actually not a beekeeper. I'm a software engineer by trade. And so I actually met this guy who is a beekeeper. And he had this problem. And he had this solution too. He's my co-founder. His name is Elia. He's an amazing individual. But also he's a great bee lover. And He wanted to change the world in that fashion and didn't really know how to go about it. And so together, we set out for this journey of actually saving the bee. And, you know, for the first time in history, we actually have a device that works, that actually saves bees at scale, which we're very proud of. And, you know, we take it to heart. It's very important to us.
So we'll double tap on the device in a minute. But Nikki, I want to ask you the same question. You woke up one day and said, I want to do impact with all of the capital that I have. That sounds like a good idea.
Well, actually, we did, in some sense, decide that we were very focused on philanthropy. And we came from that angle and said, wait a second, we actually could get a return on our capital and then have it to reinvest. And we can look for very pinpointed impact we're looking for. So we look for early stage startups, very early pre-seed, seed kind of startups. And we look for the intentionality of the impact they're making. So we said to ourselves, what impact do we as a foundation and as a fund want to make on the world. And we said, okay, we're going to look at digital health. We're going to look at assistive technology. We're going to look at educational technology. We're going to look at food and agriculture because we want to increase access to food. So we said, what are catalytic problems that we're looking for? And we actually go through phases where we say, okay, we get some kind of obsession. We say, oh, wow, there's really this big problem with bees. And we go out to find the best company that is creating a catalytic scalable solution that can really save the bees. And that's how we were on the lookout for SR. We didn't know that we'd find such a brilliant, it was very early, right? So when I met you, you were at Mass Challenge, right? And we just get so excited about the work we do because we're meeting all day people who want to make this intentional impact but are looking to scale their businesses where their return on investment is directly correlated to the impact they're making. So it was definitely a process for us to get to the stage. It was definitely not we just woke up one day, but to where we got to here and where we're going is amazing. So, you know, Sarah, I think that when we met at Mass Challenge, I don't even think you had a device yet, right?
We had early results from early experiments. We did not have the actual full-blown device yet. That's correct. Yeah.
You know, when we first met, you framed the problem in such a way that we understood it so clearly that, wait a second, if someone doesn't invent this machine and this autonomous, then we are in danger of losing our crops, of our food yield, and wait a second, here is a genius who's come from a financial background, who has the personality to do this. And I was inspired by you as a person where you were so driven by your mission, but also by the vision that you had in terms of how are you going to measure your impact? And you actually build it into your technology. So I'd love to hear more, you know, where you've got to from when we started to now. How are you actually, it fascinates me how your technology is now measuring your impact and how that's dovetailing with your revenue.
I'm not sure I can take credit for explicitly raising the problem. The problem is big. It's huge. It's global. It's real. You know, there's a lot of problems that are around optimization, like e-commerce and enterprise software. And our problem is the problem you can actually go and see and taste and touch. It's tangible. It's happening. It's directly correlated to our global food supply. And so when we realized that, we realized that it's a big challenge and it's a big opportunity. And so we set out from the outset of the problem to actually identify how are we moving along that problem line, right? How are we kind of pushing it forward in terms of measuring it? And you can only be successful what you measure, right? So we had very clear KPIs of what we want to do in terms of the problem, which is the bee mortality. Luckily enough for bees, because they're such a huge pollinator, they have a lot of economical value. They provide a lot of economical value, meaning that if you save more bees, you can create value for a customer. Because if the bee would have not been such a big pollinator, then saving the bee would have been just like saving rhinos or saving elephants, which we're not seeing a lot of venture capital going towards that end, right? And so that combination of saving a species that is super important on this planet, and I'll touch about that in a second, why they're super important, but also that the create value is the perfect combination of having impact and financial returns. And so the gist of it is that every bee we save, we're making revenue, and every revenue we make, we save more bees. So as we sell our devices more and more, these lines are forever parallel. They're never intersecting, right? The interests are always aligned in a sense that as we sell more devices and generate more ARR revenue, we're saving more bees. And we like that a lot. That's kind of from the outset of the company, we realized that's the equation, that's the formula we're working with, which is a big motivator on a very personal basis, right? Perhaps for my own ego to be correlated to saving the bee and to kind of, there used to be an issue back in the day with whales. I don't know if you remember this, but back in the 80s, it was all about saving the whales. The whales were disappearing, their population was dwindling. And something happened. There was a big marketing campaign, a global one, and people stopped hunting whales. And today, we don't hear about that problem anymore because they're not endangered any longer, right? The problem disappeared. And I want to be associated with saving the bee. I want my company to to be at that timeline where suddenly the bees are, they're doing better and then they're okay and suddenly they're not such a big problem. We don't hear about it all day long with Angelina Jolie with bees all over her and Morgan Freeman and everybody's talking about the bees because it's such a huge, important problem to be aware of.
Sounds like you're in good company, both with Nikki and with Angelina Jolie and the bees and Morgan Freeman. Nikki, is the mission alignment between the impact and the financial value, is that something that you guys are looking for at every company? Or is this something that a company can come in and you can say, we will work with you on your business model or on your impact model? Where do you find when you work with early stage companies that you want to be?
Well, that's the trick here, is to really say that we're finding, you know, we thought it would be difficult, but actually it's been quite amazing in that the innate product in itself has that double value in it from the beginning. So if it's something that we have to actually go and work with them to change their model to find the impact, then it's not a very good impact investment. It might be a brilliant investment and it could be really good impact. So that's why we created an impact first sort of portfolio that we're going to slowly build out, because not always are things that are merely sustainable but not scalable financially, but the impact is worth investing in. So it's somewhere in the line between it being brilliant, but these companies, even if they're in the impact first bucket, they have to be sustainable. They have to be able to sustain themselves through their revenue, albeit maybe a smaller target market or whatever it is. However, with the impact first, with our core portfolio, the brilliance is, like with SAR, as the product itself grows and as their go-to-market strategy really takes off and they start building a customer base and they start seeing a higher ARR or whatever their business model is, that actually has direct impact on the impact. And that is the brilliance in itself, because you can't separate the product from the impact or its return on investment.
So we have a clear understanding of how Sal's company fits with ARK, but how does ARK fit with BeeWise? I mean, you guys are taking capital not just from impact investors. Are you seeing that getting money from an impact investor is a challenge, is an opportunity? What are your other investors thinking about this?
So currently, we have only one impact investor out of about 10 investors in the company, which is ARK Impact, and Nikki personally kind of led that effort. And I would say that it's a shame. Because, you know, I'm being held responsible mostly to financial KPIs and financial metrics. And so, you know, Nikki's not giving herself enough credit. Yes, we understand the impact metrics we have to measure. We understand the KPIs. That's relatively easy because it's like she said, it's inherent to the actual product. But when I met Nikki the first time after the investment, they sat with me and we had a long kind of few hours kind of conversation and they educated me, you know, her and her team, about, you know, not only what the KPI is, that's relatively easy, it's self-evident, but it's how do you report it? What are the logistics around it? How do you measure it? How do you actually communicate it? How do you convey the importance of those metrics? I actually remember that meeting very clearly, the Excels and the things we went over. And I think setting the impact infrastructure in the company is maybe even more important than just understanding what the KPI metrics are that you have to measure. And so how does Nikki or Nikki's fund fit into our company? Very well. And it's a shame we don't have more of that, because I think a company like ours, I think it would be a big miss if eventually we're being regarded as a financial entity and perhaps even as a financial success if we are at the end of the road, versus looking at us at least as important in terms of the impact we're doing on the SDGs, you know, SDG 2 and 12 and so on. And so for me, that would be a big miss. And I wish there were more, you know, companies and investors like Nikki, not only in terms of, and there's a lot of investors today that have the ESG theme, which is nice. You know, they check a box. I'm not being judgmental. I'm just saying it's something that's happening today a lot. But Nikki is looking at things much more deeper, the impact, not necessarily just at the ESG level.
So I think, like, just to expand on that, what I love is, and it's not just about us, and I appreciate the kind words, but I think what's really important here is that you're the other in every investment that we've made, and I was going through a chart on this for a session today, that every company we've invested in has really large VCs. I don't know if you want to give one or two names of VCs that, right? And then they'll come back to us later on and say, hey, we saw that impact report, or we saw that SAR had, what's your decrease in mortality of the bees?
See, about an 80% decrease in bee mortality in our device versus right. the field.
Exactly. So these are the VCs, general VCs, will come to us and say, wait, we love the work that you guys were doing with SAR, and we love the way that we work to try work within the device to measure it, so it's embedded in the technology. What other investments do you have, and how should we report it? And then they come to us and they say, hey, wait a second, how did you do this impact report? Our LPs are loving this, because it's not just the ESG, is environmental, social, and governance reporting, and it's often negative filtering. So it's often like explaining how much harm you're avoiding. And Sarah, I think what you're saying here is it's not just the negative filter of what not to do, but you're actually bringing to the VC and to the LPs that invest, the limited partners that invest in the VCs, you're bringing this with your capital, with your money that you've worked very hard to make. You are going to see a return on your money. You're going to have more money at the end of the day to invest. And not only that, you decrease the death mortality rate of bees by 80%. And you are showing that. So now if we take your very, when we invested pre-seed, right? And it's very small company. And now 2 years later, you've got how many? 50 employees? 52 employees and growing. It's always very impressive. I love speaking to you because it's always growing and exciting news. But then when you, please God, one day a very large company, you have the essence of the negative filtering, but you also have the impact that you show at scale and at large. And the key here is that from the beginning, it's embedded in your culture to report the impact. It's embedded in your VC's culture that they're getting an impact report. And the VCs are now asking their other companies who possibly could have some impact to report on their impact. And so as an ecosystem, what you're doing in this has a knock-on effect to everyone. And that's how I think that everyone gets excited, but also sees the value through a very practical example.
I would just add to that, this is an important distinction that not many people actually make between ESG and impact, right? ESG is, how do I not harm the planet, right? You know, lower my carbon emissions or recycle. Whereas impact is, how do I actually fix the things that are broken? For me, it's a whole different level of kind of how you're committed to the planet. So that's an important distinction that I would make.
Can I ask one last question that just popped into my head about it? But in terms of your staff and in terms of attracting quality people, do you find that your impact mission, right, so to speak, has attracted better quality employees?
So I'll answer that I'll get to that in a second, but I'll just say, you know, we start with a very basic notion that the bee is our customer. They're not a paying customer, but the bee is, she is our customer. And so the whole product is built around that. You build a device, you build software, you build artificial intelligence around that. And so to your question, is it embedded in our culture and does that help us attract talent? It's not only embedded in our culture, it's actually the product we build. So it's even more deep than just the culture. The culture is another layer in a company. But for us, it's kind of across layers in the company, in the product, in the culture, in who we are and what we do, in how the offices look like, in how we operate, how we think. So absolutely. And it definitely, I'll just say, I do use it as currency when hiring, right? I mean, this is what we have to offer. This is how we differ from the next company down the road, which will give you the same amount of money and the same amount of perks, but they're not going to be able to save the bees. There's only one company in the world that does that, and that's BeeWise. And we definitely use it in our hiring. Not only that, and I'll just give people a tip to our listeners, if you want to be hired to BeeWise, and you might be the most talented person on the planet in your own specific area, if you don't mention throughout your hiring process that you're passionate about saving the bees, you're not going to be hired at BeWise. And we lost some good talent along the way, which is very painful in such a competitive market today. We did lose really good talent because when we did the recap, nobody heard them saying they're passionate about the bees. And that's rule number one in hiring in our company. Everybody has to be mission aligned and has to come before they get hired. They have to express that explicitly.
Wow. I'm all for saving the bees. I'm happy where I work, but I'm all for saving the bees. Just want to say this for the interview. So this was, I think, a really interesting conversation on the macro level. Let's do a speed round where we can, with one-line answers, try and get our listeners more into the specifics of what they should tune into. So what is your favorite book, podcast, movie that you would recommend our listeners to either, you know, consume around impact and impact investing or around the bees?
So there's a lot, right? If you haven't seen the Bee Movie, I mean, that's a must. But I'm a big Noah Harari fan. And, you know, somewhat indirectly related to impact. I mean, he's kind of my guiding light in terms of things on this planet and how things should work. And I just appreciate kind of, I'm aligned with his thinking. So his books, there's a few. His podcasts, where I listen to them too, while running too, yeah. So this is me.
A book that I've just read recently that really inspired me to just do it was called Shoe Dog. And it's really the story of Nike. And it's really something that, you know, often when we want to make impact, when we want to do something, we have so many barriers why not to do something. And I think that's how you're really just doing it. And to all our listeners, it's just about removing those barriers and reading books like this that inspire me and other people to just do it, to go for it and don't find the why nots, but find the whys, why we want to do something.
If you had to choose a company outside of BeWise and not in the ARK Impact portfolio that you think is a good company to follow in our field, what would it be?
For me, it's Tesla.
You want to say why?
They're getting rid of carbon emissions. That's one of the biggest problems we have on this planet. And they do it intentionally because of that.
You actually literally just took that out of my mouth. And I agree, because in Tesla, I think that it's exactly what we're talking about. It's been like a theme, right? Is really where the innate product in itself is dovetailing with the more cars they sell, the more emissions they reduce. And I think that it also comes along with education. And so for me, it's about impact education for ourselves, for our kids, for the world, and in our consumer behaviors.
And not only cars, right? You know, solar rooftop, renewable energy in general. That's what Tesla is all about. And so it's important.
I'm going to ask you one last question. We ask this from all of our interviewees. They all have an answer. I hope you will be honest with us too. What is your most anti-social, anti-environmental habit? We all have one.
I will say that we never used to do this in South Africa. When we got here, we used plastics. Like, non-stop, I think, and we never recycled and we never even knew about what it should be and could be. And I am embarrassed about the tons of plastic that our family actually produced. I will happily say that we are now conscious of it, and it's not always easy to do. But I will say that that is definitely a habit that I'm not proud that we did perpetuate, and I'm also proud that we're doing something in our family about it.
I'll say that I'm ashamed to say, but the amount of flights I took, the amount of carbons I emitted personally, the amount of fuel I burned is just, it's probably a very big number. I literally lived on a plane for many years. That was my office. Again, I'm improving on this, especially in the last year. But this is something I'm aware of. And, you know, the first step to solving something is admitting that there is a problem. We'll see. We'll have to develop alternatives to flying.
So I'll say that the most impactful company then to watch on that level is Zoom.
And obviously, Sal's next step is to develop a B-plane. Thank you so much to Nikki Newfield, founder of ARC Impact, and to Sal Safwa, CEO of BYS, for being here with us today. Thank you to our listeners for tuning in. We could not have created this podcast without our producer, Idan Magadish, and production assistant, Ruth Moati. This episode was edited by Ophir Gal, and Aviatar Elad is our marketing specialist. We couldn't make this episode without the support of the Edmond de Rothschild Foundation and the help of Impact Nation. You can listen to all of our other episodes on your favorite podcast apps, and please rate us so that others can find us as well. Hope you will join us soon on the next episode of Double Impact.